Okay, so a few shies I was sent in this week. One was a collar stay. A collar stay, is that a problem of carrying or having in your shirt if there's no A roof? Right? If there's an A roof, there's no problem. Let's say there's no A roof. Are you allowed to have a collar stay in your shirt? So I believe that it's fine. And the reason is for two reasons. First of all, it becomes part of your shirt. Same way you have buttons, which keep the buttons on, it becomes part of your shirt. So collar stay is integral to the shirt. Also, we're not really worried that you're going to pull it out. If you were to pull it out, it would be a problem. But no one pulls out the collar stay while you're wearing it. Only once you take off your shirt. And that would be a bigger problem for you to take off your shirt. So we're not assuming you're going to take off your shirt. And the collar stay itself becomes buckled to the shirt. And therefore, it would be fine to have your collar stay, even if there would be no air. Another shot I sent in was, what do you do with tzitzis once you don't need them anymore? So whether it's kosher or it's pasul, doesn't matter. Lemaisa, you're not going to wear them anymore. So what should you do with it? So the letter of the law allows you to throw them in the garbage. What I recommend is putting into a bag first. Putting into a bag and then throw in the garbage. A lot of people put them into shemitz, which is fine. You don't have to. It's nice. More covered, but there's no obligation because tzitzis is not kedusha. It's mitzvah. Tefillin and svarim and things like that, they have kedusha. They have to be put into shemus. Whereas tzitzis does not have kedusha. It's used for mitzvahs, so you can't disgrace it. So don't put it straight into the garbage, but you put it into a bag, that's fine. And another shaila sent in was, as far as doing a shortcut, we're going to learn today actually this year, you're not allowed to make shortcuts in the shul because it's quicker, because it's easier. You cut through the shul. What about the Ezes Nashim? Does the Ezes Nashim have the same status? So in many shuls, the Ezes Nashim is used as a minion, as a base medrash. For sure, it's a problem. But let's just say it's a proper Ezes Nashim is used only for the women davening on Shabbos. So even though there's no Sefer Torah there, even though there's no Aron HaKodesh there, because the women daven there, that itself gives it a level of Kedusha. And therefore, there would be a problem of cutting through the Ezes Nashim as well, because it does have a level of Kedusha. Okay, now let's get to the program. All right, so last week, we did a quick run-through of Mishnah Berurah Chelek Aleph. We didn't do all the halachas, but we did a taste of the six topics in Chelek Aleph, which were waking up in the morning, getting dressed, tzitzis, tefillin, brachas, kriya shema, and shmon esrei. Now we'll move on to this week to attempt to do the same thing in chelik beis in Mishnah Berurah. Again, the idea is to learn some new halakhas maybe we didn't know, review halakhas that we didn't know, and get an idea of how many different halakhas there are out there that maybe we'll come back to and like spend a whole time just on one of the topics. Now chelik beis has around 13 different topics. So we'll start, and then we'll see how far we get. Okay, the first thing is, it starts off with duchening, nesias kapayim. So in America, it's only every yontif. Eretz Yisrael, it's every day, but in America, every yontif. And this breaks up into two parts. There is the halachas that are relevant for the kohanim, and the ones that are relevant for the regular other people. So as far as the kohanim goes, they have to wash their hands, take off the shoes, and they need to uproot themselves from their spot before the chazan starts with say. They have to make sure they leave. They don't have to be up on the bima, but they have to be out of their spot, heading to wash their hands, heading up to the bima, by would say. And their hands should be above their shoulders. Sometimes the kind are tired or weak, and it's like dipping below the shoulders, it's a problem. Their hands must be above. As far as the congregation, they should ideally be in front of the kohanim. Some try to be exactly in front of the hands. Otherwise, at least, spooky stuff, Zeddy. Otherwise, at least, it should be, they should be in front of them, even if they're not directly in front, but even off to the side, but they should be toward the front of the kohanim. However, you should not walk in front of someone davening to get to that situation. You are yotze and get the mitzvah even if you're in front, if you're behind them, but you definitely would, if you could, position yourself in front of them. And if you're in the middle of davening, you do not answer amen, you just listen, and you'll get the brachas, but you do not answer amen. Okay, that's duchening. Then we move on to tachanun. Tachanun is something which everyone likes to skip, and everyone likes it when we don't say tachanun. The idea is tachanun helps your tefillahs be answered, and the Moshe Rabbeinu, perhaps, was the first one to do tachanun. He fell onto his face by Kairach. Dachanun has deep roots, and if the tzibur is not saying it, you can follow whatever the tzibur does, you can follow. For whatever reason, they're not saying it, you don't have to say it. They are saying it, you should say it. And what's it called? So definitely say Tachanun. Now, you should not talk in between Shmona Esrei and Tachanun. You should not talk because you want the Tachanun going on the Shmona Esrei. And we do not say Tachanun after Shkia. Now, if you're davening in a place that is no Sefer Torah, like you're davening at home or davening in the park, etc., you definitely say Tachanun. There are different opinions about whether you put your head down or not. So again, I don't know if it hurts to put your head down, but I don't believe you're obligated to. Once you're not in the shul, in Yerushalayim it's different. In Yerushalayim we always put our head down, but in America there is no obligation to put your head down. Now, the last thing which may answer Zevi's question is, you do not say Tachanun after Shkia. Many shuls, Nusach Sfar shuls in America, may daven Minchah after Shkia, which we'll get to later, and therefore there is no Tachanun after Shkia. If you daven before Shkia, I'm not sure why they wouldn't say it, unless it's a yard site. But tonight is a yard site in Mama Rachel, but I'm assuming they do say yard site, and they do say Tachanun anyway. But anyway, definitely can follow whatever the minhag of the shul is or whatever they're doing. You can assume that they have a reason for doing what they're doing. Next, topic 3 in Chelik Beis is Kriyas HaTorah. Okay, so Kriyas HaTorah is something which is a chiv on the tzibur. If you are at home, you don't have to do it. Recommended to read the psukim, but it's a chiv on the tzibur. During laning, it's ideal to stand up. Some do, some don't. I like to stand up. It's brought down to stand up. But even if you're going to sit down, at least stand up for the brachas. For baruch and the brachas, the first bracha, then you should stand up for that, and then you can sit down for the actual kriya. During hagva, a lot of people have the minhag of sticking their fingers out, which is okay, but that's more of a recent thing. That minhag dates back around 200 years. But what is the halacha, which is brought down Shulchan Aruch, is to see the letters of the Torah and to bow towards it, as a show of kavod Torah. The Japanese and the Chinese, they got it from this halacha. When they bow whenever they see each other, we bow whenever we see the letters of the Sefer Torah, and that's what we should do during Hagbah. So you would want to position yourself so that you could see it. Mr. Hagbah, if you are him, should make sure you're turning the Sefer Torah so everyone could see it. And your job is, if you see it, you bow down towards it. And when you get an Aliyah, the different Hagim, what to do with making the bracha, but I believe the standard meaning is you keep the Sefer Torah open, but you look away. And when you say the brachas, at the end, you close it. And you make the brachas while it's closed for the after bracha. Okay, topic number 4 in Chelik Beis is Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. So definitely there should be, you should treat the shul and a Beis Medrash with heavy duty Kedusha, which means no idle talk, no Dvarim Teilim, no Kalas Reish, which really boils down to no politics and no sports in the Beis Medrash or the shul. Are you allowed to say, hi, how you doing? How are you doing? How are you feeling? That's fine. That perhaps is even a mitzvah. Showing concern for your friend, that's all great. So that's not a problem to do in the shul. But once it gets past that, now are you allowed to talk about Corona in the Beis Medrash? I'm not sure. Where does that fit in? Or is that Stam Shruzing? Is that politics? According to some people, it's politics. According to some people, it's how you're doing it. So you have to know, you definitely want to treat the shul with a certain level of Kedusha in the Beis Medrash. And we spoke out earlier, also there's a Snashim. And yeah, if you need a shortcut, don't take one through the shul. If for whatever reason you're going through the shul for no other reason except for somewhat of a shortcut, you should stop, pause, say a pasuk, say a gemara shir, say a halacha, do something that is of holiness in the shul, and then you can continue on your way. All right, topic 5 is netilas yadayim for the suda. Okay, so here, if you're having bread, kazayas or more, you need to wash with a bracha. If you're having bread less than a kazayas, you wash without a bracha. If you do not have water, try to get water. If you really don't have water and you cannot get water within reason, so then you can eat the bread by holding it through the bag or through a napkin by not touching the bread. But again, it's very busy. You don't want to do that l'chachila. Ideally, you would want to get your hands on some water. Now, if you have a band...
Rabbi Goldberg,
yeah.
When you say kazayas or not kazayas bracha, you mean a bracha... Amaiti, or you mean a bracha on tiyasidayim?
I mean on tiyasidayim. If you're having a crumb, you make hamotzi. Anytime you're eating bread, you definitely make hamotzi. Now I'm talking about the actual tizadayim that you only make on tizadayim if you're having kizayis or more. But you should wash your hands even less than kizayis. Now as far as, let's say you have a band-aid on. Do you need to take off your band-aid? You have a cast. You need to remove your cast every time you wash. So the answer is cast, you do not need to remove. Band-aids, it depends. If you have a real painful cut and it hurts to remove it, or the band-aid's on really tight, it's not coming off in the near future, in the next 5-10 hours, that thing is really staying on, then there's no need to take it off. It's not a chetzitza, and it's fine. If, however, it's a little cut, it doesn't really hurt so much, you're just protecting it with the band-aid, the band-aid's going to be coming off soon, it's not so tight, then you should take off the band-aid before. Now, ideally, you want to use a kli to wash your hands. You also definitely want to have what's called kayach gavra. Kayach gavra means that the water source coming on your hands is from you. And therefore, you definitely want to pour it on a cup. Now, let's say you are traveling and you don't have a cup. So then you have a sink. So you turn it on, off, on, off, on, off. That would be considered kayach gavra. And nowadays, that no one touches sinks, you just have the electric sensor. So you're positioning your hand in front of that sensor could be considered kayach gavra. But what you would want to do is put your hand in, move it away from the sensor, and do it again. So it may take some time for that sensor to work. What I do is I go from sink to sink to sink, because then you're like igniting the sensor every time, and that works quicker, and that is fine. Okay, now we're starting the Suda. You made Hamotzi. Now, join the Suda, you do not need to make other brachas except for, everyone agrees to the following example, which is wine. Anytime you're going to drink wine, so if you made that gavra before the Suda, like we do by Kiddush, it's covered through the Suda. But let's say you didn't make Hagafen before the Suda, and you're bringing wine in the middle of the Suda, you need to make Hagafen in the middle of the Suda. That there's no machlokas about. Where we get to a machlokas is what about desserts? Okay, so you had your meal. On the main meal, there are no brachas needed. On all the side dishes, etc. Now you get the dessert, and it's cake, and it's fruit, and it's candy, and it's ice cream. So here you have a major machlokas and halacha. Do you need to make dessert, bracha on desserts? Every sheet is out there. There's sheet that holds you make a bracha on everything, and there's sheet that holds you make a bracha on nothing. There's sheet that holds you make a bracha on some things. I personally make ha'etz and adamas on fruits and watermelon, things like that, but not on cakes and candies and ice cream. That's my. That's what I do. Other people really hold no bracha at all. Whatever you do, we follow your minhag. It's great. If you don't know what your minhag is, get one. But unfortunately, in this, it's a major fight in halacha, and everything goes as far as brachas on dessert. You want to make sure you had a kazayis of bread so that you could bench. If you only had a less than kazayis of bread, even though you washed, even though you said amotzi, you do not bench if you have less than kazayis. Moving on to topic number 7, bracha rishonos and bracha achronos. In general, now we're talking outside of the meal. Okay, so you're not in the meal and you're eating, you're having snack, whatever you're having. So now, the rule is, whatever food you're making the bracha on, the bracha rishonos covers what you had in mind. Now, what's considered what you had in mind? If it's in front of you, it's like you had it in mind. If it's not in front of you, it's like you didn't have it in mind, unless you went out of your way and had it in mind. So therefore, if you're drinking water at the table, and then there's lemonade in the refrigerator, you do not have that in mind, you're going to have to make another bracha on that lemonade in the refrigerator, if you decide to have it. What I recommend is every time you make a bracha v'shena, have in mind you want that bracha to go on every food in the world that has that same bracha. And that way, if you change your mind, if someone brings you something, you have this, it's covered. So when I make a shackle, I have in mind all the shackles in the world. And then whatever happens during that shackle fest is covered. Same thing with Adama, same thing with Eitz, Mizainis, whatever it is, you want to have in mind everything that has that bracha, and then you don't have any shilas. But if you did not do that, and then you have something which you didn't have in mind, that wasn't in front of you, you would have to make another bracha. As far as Benji's Shaila, maybe you want to make more brachas and more brachas and more brachas, perhaps, meaning you want to get to the 100 bracha count. So normally in a regular day, you don't have that issue. But it's a little bit tricky because if you're doing it on purpose, you could be causing brachas out of no need. You know you're going to be having more things. What do you say? You're playing a mental game with yourself. Okay, I'm not going to have that in mind so that I could bring it out and make a bracha with it later. you're playing with fire because really may have been covered because you really knew you were having it. So ideally, you don't want to make extra brachas in this case if you don't have to. So I would recommend that. Now,
but your play your logic backwards. If you can't not have something in mind because maybe you did have it in mind, then can you say, oh, I had everything in mind, even though your mind is completely not on something that may show up?
But if you had that in mind, then you did. That if you actually say, I'm having everything in mind, then you did. You had everything in mind. And I've been surprised.
So let's say you make a ha'etz and somebody brings you a fruit that you haven't seen in your entire life. You can't say that that was covered.
I had in mind every fruit, even if it was not in my house. I had everything in mind.
So then why can't you do it the other way? I'm not having this in mind, even though it's right in front of me.
Because then you really should have been covered. You're going out of your way not to cover it just so that you have to make another bracha if you have it. But you really had it in mind. It was in front of you. So I wouldn't do it. Now, as far as now you made your bracha rishona. Now, how long does that bracha last? So that your bracha rishona will cover whatever it can cover as long as two things. As long as you didn't change your makom, meaning it's a big shy what's considered changing your makom, but we'll leave it at that. Changing your makom, which means leaving your house, leaving the building, leaving the neighbor, whatever the makom is, your bracha covers it. And also, you did not have in mind that you were done eating. Whenever you change your makom, or you thought that you were done eating, then the bracha rishona ends. Otherwise, the bracha goes on. So you could be at your table drinking water in the morning and be at your office table the whole day and make one shahakal in the morning, and it covers everything. So there's no time limit on a bracha rishona. Okay? It covers everything as long as you did not think you were done eating and as long as there's no shina makom. Now, as far as mezonos and hamotzi, they you're even allowed to change your makom. So if you watch, or you had mezonos in place A, and you still had das to continue eating, and you went to place B, that does not require a new bracha. Only by shahakos, eitz, and adamas does shilin makom require you to make a new bracha. So if you made a shahakol at home on your coffee, then you went to shul, and you had another coffee in shul, you would need to make a shahakol on the second coffee in shul. But if you had some cake at home and you had in mind the cake in shul, and then you went to shul and had some cake in shul, then you would not need to make another bracha rishena. Okay, that's bracha rishena. As far as bracha achreina, they are the only ones that have a time limit. You can only make a bracha achreina as long as you're still somewhat satiated from what you ate. As a general rule, we say 72 minutes. So as long as 72 minutes has not passed from the last drinking or eating, you can make your bracha achreina. If 72 minutes has passed, then it's a shaila. If you can make the bracha achreina, I recommend eating a little bit more and then having the bracha achreina cover everything. But so bracha achreina has a zman to it. Bracha rishona has no zman to it. As far as where you make a bracha, brain of fushers can be made anywhere, whether you ate there, whether you didn't eat there. And a bracha achreina, benching and alamichya should be made only in the place that you had a kazai. Whether it's your first kazayas, your last kazayas, your middle kazayas, it should only be made in the place that you had a kazayas. Now, if you had your shahakal, Yoni is asking, and you left and came back, once it's a shinei mako, meaning you left that place, then coming back would require you to make another racha. Once you've left your place, then it's lost. Now, as far as 72 minutes, Josh is a good question. It's a general rule. We apply it to everything. But there's definitely a discussion about that, but I believe Lamaisa, we apply it to everywhere. Okay, now moving on to benching. So benching, you should wash on achreinim. Some people don't have that minhag, but it's definitely a good idea if you don't know what your minhag is to wash on achreinim. You do not need to have a kli for that. We don't make a brach on it. A zimun, you should definitely try to have a zimun. If you have three people, do not disappear. If you ate together, you're das to eat together, and you're three people, you should make a zimun together. If, for whatever reason, someone has to go, so then make a game time decision that you all should bench. But if you have the obligation to do Zimun, you should definitely try to do it. Women, in general, do not make their own Zimun, but if they ate a meal with men, they are chayvin that Zimun as well. So you should wait for them. If they're in the bathroom, wait for the women to come back, because they also are obligated in Zimun, just like men are. Now, what's it called? What's this question? Yeah. Yeah. So then as far as the bracha achreina, it's covered anything you've been eating. It extends up to 72 minutes, whatever you've been eating. Okay, now, so that's benching. Now, let's say you don't know if you made a bracha on this food. You're eating, you don't know if you made a bracha, you don't know if it was a shina makom, you don't know if you had das to continue, you don't know. You don't know if you need to make another bracha or not. So in general, we have the rule savi bracha slahaka, which means if you have a real doubt of whether you're obligated to make another bracha, you do not make the bracha, and you are allowed to eat. It's a double chiddush. Don't make a bracha, and you're still allowed to eat, even though you're not making a bracha. But ideally, pay attention and try not to be in a suffix situation. Now,
is it hashkafically looked at as good to like think in your mind, thank you Hashem for this amazing food? Or if you're not making a bracha, it doesn't matter.
I would do that. I mean, if you're not making a bracha, definitely there's a nusach to say with Hashem's name, maybe counts, maybe doesn't count. Doesn't hurt. Definitely doesn't hurt. Okay, now let's see if mixtures of foods. Right, very tricky. This is a whole shiur in itself. You have mixtures of foods. Which bracha does it get? The general rule is, if in the mixture is one of the five grains and was put there for flavor, then you make a mezainis. If it was not put there for flavor, it was just put there for adhesive to hold it together, then you don't get the mezainis, you get the other bracha. Now, so let's say you have a mixture without the five grains. So you go with the ikker, not the tuffel, which is whatever is primary, which normally is the majority of the food, whichever is the majority of food. That's the bracha that will cover the whole mixture. If in the mixture you have really big pieces, that may not be considered a mixture. And therefore, you would make a separate bracha on everything. Again, this is a whole big sugya of ikker, tuffel, when you make the bracha on the ikker and when it covers the tuffel. Okay, now moving on to random brachas, like thunder, lightning. So it's a good idea to learn this bracha by heart. Because when in the moment that's happening, you need to make the bracha pretty quickly. You can't wait 40 minutes or 10 minutes or even a minute from the thunder and lightning to making the bracha. It's got to be immediate. So you could perhaps ask, hey, was that a plane or was that thunder? That probably you could ask. But more than that, there shouldn't be any talking or delay. So learn the brachas by heart. Shekhei chai uburasai amalei oilam is for thunder. And oisa maisa reishis is for lightning. And you want to make that immediately after you see it and hear it. There's a minute to stand up when you make the bracha. It's not ma'akev, but it's a good idea to stand up when you make those brachas. Other random brachas, when you see things, you want to make those brachas immediately when you see them. Shechianu, we make a new fruit that disappeared from the market. A fruit that was 12 months a year on the market, just you didn't eat it, doesn't make a shechianu. But a fruit which disappears from the market and it comes back on that, you'll make a shechianu, or new clothing in general. We do not make a shechianu because we're very spoiled and lucky that we get to have new clothing whenever we want, perhaps. However, if you're buying something which is so rare, so unique, and so exciting to you, so then you could make a shechianu on that clothing. All right, moving on to mincha. The earliest time for mincha, a potato kiddush. If all wants to know about a potato kiddush, I would make a mezainis on a potato kiddush because it has a mezainis. It's there for flavor. I make mezainis on that. As far as chalent is a major shaila zevi. If it's a chalent with everything's mixed in small and there's barley, I make mezainis. If it's a chalent that has a lot of big chunks of meat or big chunks of potato, it's a big shaila. I personally make brachos on other things and cover that. Meaning, I'll make a dama on a cucumber and I'll make a shako on a candy and then I'll have my chalent and make mezainis on my chalent. But it definitely is a big shaila. Okay, moving on to mincha. Here we go. Mincha, the earliest time to have mincha is a half hour after chatzos. Chatzos keeps changing, but loosely it's around 12:30, 1:30, check your calendar. So a half hour after chatzos is the earliest time to have mincha. The latest time to have mincha is debatable. Ideally, you would want to have mincha before shkia. If it didn't work out, you can have mincha a little bit after shkia. In America, you probably had 10, 15, 20 minutes to have mincha after shkia. But again, depends who you ask, depends what your blood is. But ideally, try to daven before shkia, but you definitely can daven mincha after shkia. But we said earlier, no tachanun by mincha if you are davening after shkia. And you should not do work or eating a suda before you daven mincha. And the shaila is, at what point did that iser start? If you have a minyan kavua or you set your alarm, then no problem. Do whatever you want. So that's a great idea. Have a minyan kavua, set an alarm, and then you can do whatever you need to do before mincha. Maariv, same idea, which is you cannot do things before Maariv once the Maariv time starts. And therefore, either have a mini kavua or set an alarm, and that will cover you for Maariv. And the earliest time to daven Maariv is Plaga Mincha. It's the earliest time, which is about an hour and a quarter, a halachic hour and a quarter before sunset, before Shkia. So you would want, you could daven Maariv as early as that. Just if you do, you are Yotze Maariv, but you're not Yotze Kriya Shema. And therefore, Kriya Shema has to be said from Tzeisach Chochavim, when three stars come out, around 40 minutes after Shkia. From that time and on is the when you would have to repeat Shema. The latest time for Maariv is around Alos HaShachar, which is very early in the morning or very late at night, depending where you're holding. That is the latest time for Maariv. Ideally, Shema should be said before Chatzos, so you don't want to push off Maariv till after Chatzos, but you could, just so you have a chance to say Shema before Chatzos. That is Maariv. Okay, and the last thing is Kriya Shema Lamita. You have your sitter, has Kriya Shema Lamita. There's a lot of things to say to Kriya Shema Lamita. If you have the strength to say them all, great. If not, at least say Shema and Hamapil. And ideally, you do not want to talk from the moment that you say Shema and Hamapil. If something comes up, something very important, you forgot your daven Maariv, whatever, it's fine to talk afterwards. Repeat Shema, do not repeat Hamapil. You'll say Hamapil once a night. But if you did talk for whatever reason, say Shema again. And I say Shema means the first paragraph of Shema. Shema and V'ahavta. That is Kriya Shema Lamita. And that is a wrap on Chelik Beis of Mishnah Berurah. Now, moving on to Inyanei Bitachon. So we started last week. Chayvus HaLevavos, Shar Bitachon. We are still in the Psicha, and we'll probably be in the Psicha for a little bit. So we spoke out one idea last week, which is someone who has Bitachon Hashem, he says, you'll just be a happier person. You're just going to rely on people less and not feel so dependent on people, which is very healthy. You will become more of a shalim in your avodas Hashem. This week, well, he adds on. Let's say someone is not boteach Hashem. You're lacking in the amun of the midah of bitachon in Hashem, and you're relying on someone else or something else. So he says a tough lesson. He says, Hashem meser mimenu hashkachaso. Hashem will remove from you his hashkacha. If you are saying, Hashem, I don't believe in you, I don't trust in you, I trust in him. And I trust in my bank account, and I'm not trusting in you, Hashem will remove his hashkacha from you. I don't know what that means exactly. It's not like he still runs the world, but there'll be less of a hashkacha practice for you. You'll be like lost in the crowd, so to speak. Exactly, I know how Hashem runs this world, but the individual hashkacha that everyone has will be taken away from you. Then he adds on, you had your bitachon in your money, in your smarts, in your wisdom, in your strength, Hashem may also take that away from you. So if you have bitachon something else besides Hashem, not only will Hashem take his hashkacha away from you, but he may even take that thing that you were having bitachon in, he may take that away as well. So definitely, this is a midah we want to work on and get to know it. And through having bitachon, then Hashem will give you his hashkacha and take care of you. Okay, that is a thought from Chayvus HaLevavos Shar Bitachon. As far as tefillah, inyanei tefillah, kavanas for tefillah, so we'll move on to another, what the Shulchan Aruch says. Again, before we get to what modern-day Sfarim say, we'll first deal with what Shulchan Aruch has to say. So Shulchan Aruch and Simin Vav discusses what kavana you should have when you say Ashayatza. So Ashayatza, we say it 5 times a day, 10 times a day, 15 times a day, depending on your bladder control. But Ashayatza, I'm going to say many times a day. What should you be having in mind? So he goes through the translation of the words, which is important. But then one thing I want to highlight is we say at the end, Baruch Atah Hashem, Rofecho Basar u'mafli lasos. Hashem heals everyone is mafli. What does the word mafli mean? So the root is pela, which means wonder. And the Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch explains, what wonders are we talking about? So he's had two different pshatim. One pshat is, what we should have in mind is, how we are full of holes, and yet we have water and we have air in our body. You take a balloon, a water balloon, you put a little like pin-sized hole in it, the water's coming out and the air is coming out. Yet our body is full of holes, and yet the water stays in and the air stays in. That's a pella, that's a wonder. So we're thanking Hashem, we just went to the bathroom, we just used our holes. We're saying, oh my gosh, I have holes, and still I've retained my water and I've retained my air. That's a pella, that's a wonder. Another thing he says that we have in mind is that our guf is so physical and our neshama is so spiritual. And yet, they work in synthesis. They're together. They're next-door neighbors. They're together all day. It's a pella. It's a wonder how it could be that our body has both of these elements, the spiritual and the physical, all entwined. That's a wonder. How we are so holy and so mundane all at once. That's the Pella of Mafli Lasis. Okay, and the last thing on the Parsha, say two little verses on the Parsha. One is Avraham Avinu was promised to become rich from Hashem, and the Melech Sodom wanted to thank him for winning the war and offered him spoils and riches. And Avraham Avinu said, no, I don't want it. Hashem's going to make me rich. So I want to ask, like, maybe this was the way that Hashem was going to make him rich, right? He did a good job. He's entitled to his paycheck from Sodom. So why did Avraham Avinu not take the money from Sodom? Because, oh, Hashem's going to make him rich. So I heard a great pshat, which is connected to Chayyus HaLavavis, that we have that bitachon Hashem. Hashem is going to take care of us. Avraham Avinu had that bitachon. And he had it on a higher level, which is, when Hashem takes care of you, it's going to be in a way that's righteous, in a way that's holy, in a way that's not tainted. The money that Sodom had, they were famous for their bad midos, for their gezel. He didn't want that money. That money is tainted money. That money does not have a good hechsher on that money. And then what he was saying was, Hashem is going to take care of me in a holy way, in a kosher way. I'm convinced it's not from you. The money that you're giving me, I don't want. Hashem's not going to give me that money. And that's why he refused it. One other thing I want to discuss is Avraham Avinu is known for the midah of chesed. Yitzchak is for the midah of gevura, and Avraham is the midah of chesed. What I just want to highlight is, as you go through last week's parsha, this week's parsha, next week's parsha, the midah that sticks out to me by Avraham Avinu is the midah of gevura. He was strong. He had nerves of steel. He went against his father, destroying all of his avodah zarah. He went against Nimrod, Kibshan Ha'esh. He went head-to-head with the four kings. He fought he sent away Lot. He sent away Yishmael, his son. He did the Akedah. And he was, if someone I'm thinking of, Gevura of strength. Avraham Avinu was Mr. Gevura, Mr. Nerves of Steel. He was able to do anything. Yet, we say Avraham Avinu was Chesed, not Gevura. Now, what was his Chesed? He had a four-door tent, which is pretty cool. And he had like Hachnasas Orchim. He loved it. Okay, that's great. So we know a few things that he did with Chesed, but he's Gevura all over the place. I'm just wondering, perhaps, that he for sure had this Mida Gevura. But the Mida of Gevura, which is uncontrolled, which you're not able to harness, could be used in a terrible way. If you're Mr. Strong, I can do anything, you may trample on people, you may hurt people, you may do destructive things with your Gevura. Avraham Avinu had the Mida of Chesed as well, and perhaps through his Mida Chesed, he was able to channel his Gevura in the proper ways. He only did the Gevura at the right time, at the right moment, in the right place. So maybe why we focus on his Chesed, not necessarily because he was super duper Chesed, but his Chesed, his niceness, his kindness, was able to control his Gevura, and that's perhaps why we're focusing on Chesed. We all have certain Midas that we're super duper strong in. Perhaps some other Mida should come in and balance us in a way that we shouldn't go overboard with that Mida. All right, that's a wrap. Mitzvah next week, same time. Chelik Gimel, Mishnah Berurah, Mitzvah Shem. Have a wonderful Shabbos and a good night.